This is DH Radio on CJMQ 88.9 FM. My name is Sheila Q. Now, as many of you listeners know, I have a little man in my life by the name of Angus. Well, I have two little fellows, Angus and Leander. My nine-year-old son, Angus, around the age of 2.5, was diagnosed with autism. It was It wasn't really a shock. I kind of had an idea that something was going on and that Angus needed support and that I needed help to understand my little boy. And one of the things that's become a huge adventure for me has been to encounter other people with autism and other families of people with autism. Recently, and one of the things that's resulted as from that has been that my network of friends and family and acquaintances and coworkers have become people who develop like a feeler for autism, and when they hear stories, they tend to send me links, call me, cut out articles that they've noticed in the newspaper and magazines. It's been such an interesting experience to see everyone else perk up their ears over this word and this thing that is a big part of my life. A few weeks ago, I received a post on my Facebook profile from my dear friend Michelle Lashley, who is originally a Montrealer and now lives in England. And she said, "You have to check this out, Sheila. I just thought of you and Angus right away." And it was this remarkable young man by the name of Kyle Coleman and his astounding and perfect voice. Kyle is a 25-year-old man living in England, who has autism as well, like my son, and they have discovered that he's got this amazing ability to sing, that he has perfect pitch, if I understand correctly. And just hearing Kyle just sent goosebumps everywhere over my body. I was just so taken with his ability. Online with me right now is Caroline Coleman, Kyle's mom. Caroline, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's an absolute pleasure to be able to speak with you about Kyle's journey. So, I'm elated about doing it. So, the pleasure's all mine.
So, talk to me about the early days with Kyle and realizing around the time that you realized that maybe something needed a little intervention or a little more information about how he was growing and developing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, listening to your story about, you know, about your son and, you know, knowing that something wasn't quite right, but you didn't know what, and then obviously you go down the road of diagnosis. I mean, I can just echo that story like so many parents that I speak to over here in the UK. We all speak a very similar language. We all have very similar stories to tell. I think, in the early years, I was unsure as to whether I'd even be able to reach Kyle and sort of, you know, find a bridge between the world that he lived in and our world, effectively. And I tried everything. I think I tried, you know, all the therapies that you can do and, you know, sort of dietary interventions and things like that. And even though some things did help a little bit, nothing really opened the door until about 3 or 4 years ago, when I moved from where we were living in Hampshire, which is sort of central part of England, down to the West Country, and he went to college for a little while, and there was a lovely lady there who said, "I think Kyle has a musical ability." She was a musician, so she obviously saw something perhaps that I didn't, and she said, "You know, I think that music might be a way to kind of reach Kyle. And have you ever thought about music therapy?" And I hadn't done. I'd sort of tried other things, but I hadn't tried music therapy. So a lovely lady called Corrine Kelly came to our house and gave Kyle like a taster session of what music therapy was about. And it's very non-intrusive. It's very client-led, where Kyle was in charge all the time. You know, he could play what instrument he wanted, he could make whatever noise he wanted, you know, with whatever instrument he chose. There was no structure. It was a very much a sort of freestyle session where Kyle was central to that session. So there was no sort of, you know, pushing him into an area that he didn't want to do, where you know obviously then the behavioral issues kick in. It was all centered around Kyle, and I think he kind of, after a while, after that session finished, I think he felt, that wasn't so bad. I was kind of in charge and I didn't need to react. and we gradually built those sessions up to the point where he was sort of playing her keyboard with, you know, he can play the piano as well, which is amazing. We didn't realize he could do that. He literally hears a tune in his head and then he can play that on
repeat
the keyboard,
it?
Sort of note perfect.
Now, they talk about echolalia and the idea of repeating sounds. Do you think that in a way it was that he was able to echo back what it was that he was hearing?
I think music's quite mathematical. I mean, I play the guitar about four or five chords and I've learnt them just by pitch. And I think if you have, I mean, I think there's an aspect of echolalia there, definitely. But I think Kyle has an inherent, I've been told by, you know, people that are musically minded that he appears to have an inherent perfect pitch ability inside his head. So he would hear if a note was wrong. I mean, I've never taught him the layout of a keyboard because I don't know it myself. I only teach him what I kind of know myself. So this was a whole sort of learning, you know, environment that I couldn't teach him, and only somebody that was a skilled musician could teach him. But he just kind of knew where, I don't know how he knew, but he just knew what key would play what note. And he did it perfectly. And then obviously from that, he then had stored this repertoire of music and song lyrics in his head that which I feel, Sheila, that has been there for a long time, and it was just finding a skilled, practitioner to go, right, I think perhaps we should try this, and right, I think we should try that. And then from them using their sort of therapeutic musical skill, it helped to unlock all of this information that Kyle's had, stored, I think, for a very long time. Hello?
Yeah, are you still there?
I am, Sheila. Sorry.
Okay.
Yes, I thought you disappeared there.
No, I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay.
Intently.
and from there, I just saw this transformation happen. I mean, Kyle has been classified as classic autistic from about the age of three.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to all the people, the practitioners that have cared for Kyle through the years. Will he ever speak? Will he ever be able to converse with us? And nobody could say yes or no. They just said, in time, Kyle might say a few words. He might, develop, but they couldn't say like how much he would or when he would, and I believe that, through music, Kyle over the last couple of years, he's accelerated. He's not just developed, but he's accelerated, and it's opened up all sorts of musical avenues for him, and I've just seen him like step from the world of autism into our world, and join us, where I thought that was something he would never be able to do, Sheila.
So yeah.
It's been a rite of passage, it really has, not just for Kyle, but for me as his mum, thank God I've got something right, I thought to myself, that I've actually found something where, I believe that, that has resonated with Kyle, and he feels confident enough to, to make that bridge, to where we are,
Oh, I know that all of the families and particularly the parents of children with autism who hear you say that right now will understand completely what it is that you're talking about, because the idea of, I on a regular basis feel like I can't get things right. And that as much as I can try different sort of interventions or different kinds of, I use the word intervention because I'm a special care counselor. Ironically, my schooling that I completed before my son was born, is in working with people in transition. So it also included people with special needs of all varieties. That was part of the reason that I was able to recognize what was going on early enough to get help early.
Right, okay, yeah.
But it's the idea that I completely, that really struck a chord with me, the idea of when it's not about, It becomes pretty clear quite early that it's not about us.
It's, that's right, yeah.
It's, yeah. And, but it's, there is something that to be said for what it does for our energy as parents, to be able to feel like the victory feeling is unreal.
I think, you know, it just, you know, I think, you know, for the, I mean, Kyle's 25 now, so I spent a lot of years, you know, scratching my head and thinking, you know, what is it? What can I do? You know, what is it that he wants from me? And I believe, you know, as parents, mums, dads, you know, caregivers of individuals that have autism, you know, we have to be highly intuitive. That's what's required of us. And I believe on some level, maybe that's why these children come into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We maybe have a trait where we can be able to, you know, raise our level of awareness to something that goes beyond words.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, when we decided to put this album together, especially when we wrote Just Listen, it was I kind of came up with the idea, and a friend of mine who works for the National Autistic Society in the UK here sort of crafted the lyrics for me. I kind of had them down on paper, but I didn't quite know how to articulate them. And that's why, you know, we kind of created a song that Kyle could sing in his pitch and something that he enjoyed singing and something that he had a connection with too, which conveyed the fact that we have to go beyond the lyrics when we're listening to these people, because they can't always tell us how they're thinking or what they're feeling or what emotions they're experiencing. And we, I said, as parents, as caregivers, as professionals, have to find other avenues of understanding. I think that's what I feel I've done. I feel that I've learned something not only about Kyle, but about myself. And I've had to go beyond my own boundaries and my own parameters tune myself into Kyle's world as much as he's come to us to find me, if you like. So,
yeah.
And I think he sees that in me. I think he sees that, you know, Mum has tried her best and she's, you know, finally beginning to make a connection to who I truly am as a person. So that gives me great sense of achievement and joy. And, you know, I'm so proud that I am a mum of an autistic child. I wouldn't be without Kyle and I wouldn't want to change him for the world.
Oh my goodness, that's what an inspirational thing to express, you know, because it's not easy. It is, there are so many different things about just wanting what seems like something simple at times turns out to be something not so simple. Like I've said on numerous occasions with my son Angus, upon thinking about the idea of parenthood, I wanted to know what would their favorite color be and what did they think of the world, you know? And I didn't think that I was asking too much by having those things that I was hoping to know as a parent. But in the long run, it was, because having a child, here's a question for you. I sometimes have trouble with the idea of mute or nonverbal as terms. Because with a child who doesn't express himself in a way that I understand, it's hard for me to know those two things, you know, like the idea of what is his favorite color. Well, for a while there, when he was gathering up blue things all the time, I thought, well, I think he really likes blue, you know.
Yeah.
And the idea of his interpretation of things, I think, is a little different from mine. I think sometimes he thinks that I know things that I don't know how I would know, and I think that maybe is because he interacts with everything in his environment and the people around him in a way that I don't know how, you know.
Right.
But what about that idea of as far as verbal skills go with Kyle, that's another part of this that's kind of quite remarkable and makes people stop and kind of say, but what do you mean? How could he sing if he can't talk, if he can't speak?
Yeah, it is an enigma, isn't it, on some levels. I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but what I do know is that we use a different part of our brain to understand music. And all I can think of is that when he hears something tuneful, maybe that part of his brain is, you know, taking in information where perhaps it wouldn't likes of me. You know, I mean, I'm sort of quite a left-brained person. And I, you know, maybe my, I mean, I'm certainly not pitch perfect, and I'm certainly, I couldn't hear a tune and then, you know, just sort of replay it afterwards. So all I can think of is that Kyle is, you know, where maybe he's not using his brain in the traditional or the typical way, he's using it in a way where he streamlines, you know, certain things. And then obviously because of that, he's got no interference sort of, you know, and nothing else is kind of making or diluting that. And then he's able to kind of recreate what he hears. His dad was a musician. I mean, he sadly died a couple of years ago. But, mm-hmm. I mean, as I said, his dad was a percussionist. So I think, you know, genetically perhaps Kyle has inherited aspects of you know, of that and has some sort of, you know, sort of innate musical ability.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even know if I could answer that question, Sheila. It would be very subjective. It's just I believe that Kyle has something in him that he can process in a way that only somebody perhaps that has autism or has, you know, or doesn't use the kind of brain power that we use, and that is a way that, you know, he's able to retain and store that information and then obviously, you know, sort of bring it forth by singing. So it's a tricky question, and I'm not sure if I've answered it, you know, the best way. Well, I've answered it the best way I can, should I say.
And that's all I would ever ask. That's an amazing way to be able to respond. I think that's wonderful. Now, I know that the listeners are going to be really intrigued about hearing Kyle's music and having a chance to own it themselves. So what would people have to do as far as getting a chance to acquire his music?
Okay, well, there's a couple of options. You can download it from his website, which is kylecoleman.co.uk. So it's www.kylecoleman.co.uk. And if you go onto the website, you'll see there's, you can download it as digital iTunes. So that's one way you can do it. Or you can order it directly through the website, and our distributors in the UK will then dispatch a copy out to you. So you just, I've not done it myself because obviously, you know, I've not needed to, but you just go onto the website and it will instruct you as to how that you know you can order a copy of his album. But as I said, you know, there's two options. There's digital downloads. I know lots of people tend to do that now, or if you're a bit old-fashioned like me and still like to buy a CD from the shops, you know, or a CD from Amazon, I tend to buy, you know, the physical thing just because I'm a bit old school, really, so.
Oh, that's great. We're going to have to find some way to be able to get some actual physical copies here in Canada. I know that people would be able to order it online as well, too, but we're going to have to help you find a distributor for Kyle's music here in Quebec.
That would be fantastic. Thank you.
Well, Caroline Coleman, I can't tell you how much this has meant to me today. What an amazing, mind-blowing thing to be able to talk to you about this. It's not a door that's opened, it's a world, and that's just wonderful.
Thank you. Well, as I said, I've had the most loveliest emails from people all over the world, and I really didn't think that it would have this impact, Sheila. I mean, as I say, we are just an ordinary family that has tried to do an extraordinary thing for people like ourselves that, you know, live with autism every day. And it can be sometimes very lonely and very isolating. But, you know, we're all on a very similar journey, I believe. And it's just finding those right doorways to open for our children. And I, you know, my message to people is never give up hope. There is something, and you know, it's just a case of finding it. But, you know, never take your eyes off hope, because, you know, doing nothing for Kyle has never been an option for me. So that's a sort of a daily mantra that I've always said to myself. So.
Oh, thank you. Oh, Caroline Coleman. Now, so you know what you guys have to do is just Google Kyle Coleman, because you will be amazed to see all of the links that are going to come up. The number of stories and the photos and the YouTube links, you'll just be fascinated and as amazed as I am. Thank you so much, Caroline.
Thank you, Sheila.
And please stay in touch.
Oh, well, we'll do. Thank you.